Good evening. How is everybody this evening? I'm Robert Stumpf, High Point Church, and this is our third in a series of eight that we're going to be teaching on these Wednesday nights. I am so excited to be here today, and thank you all for watching. I'd like to encourage you as you're watching this teaching to go ahead and comment, go ahead and thumbs up, put those little bubbles of hearts and all those wonderful things. I would really like you to interact. And also, if by any chance these last couple of weeks you have prayed with me, and this is the first time you have ever prayed for salvation, then I'd like you to just say saved in the comments and let that just come on up, because we want to give a shout out to you for taking the time to just release yourself to the presence of God and let Him raise you as His son or daughter. We love you. So today I'm going to be talking about, as we have been talking about, the new you 2.0, God's upgrade. And in the first week, we spoke about the espionage of the corruption being infiltrated into the program of our human DNA. And so what happened was, just a real brief synopsis, is when Eve was beguiled by the serpent and Adam partook with her, sin entered into man. And at that time, man's eyes were open to know the difference between good and evil. And at that time, man had separated himself from God, hiding himself in the garden, clothing himself, ashamed and afraid. And that fear, condemnation, guilt, and shame has been transferred down through the generations in every human being. And that corruption was so bad that every time it got so out of control, God would kill off the people, He would move the people, He would do something to try to clean up the mess. Ultimately, He created a group of people for Himself, the Hebrews, and He separated them from everybody else, hoping to keep the gene pool somewhat clean, and He somewhat regulated them by putting laws in them and to them to abide by those laws, hoping to keep some handle on the spread of the corruption of humanity. Again, that law, all it did was show that there was sin in the hearts of men and women. Because where there's no law, you can't even tell you're doing anything wrong, because there's nothing telling you you're doing something wrong. But if somebody says, don't do this, you'll automatically go, oh, well, I want to do this. I've got stories to prove. I think I'll tell you a little later. So anyway, sin had been in the hearts of men. God put the law, and the law was not able to even redeem us then. And so what God had to do was to redeem us Himself. He redeemed us Himself to Himself. And so He did that through Jesus Christ. And we spoke about the virgin birth of Jesus through Mary, and how God, through the Spirit, inseminated the egg, and therefore Christ was conceived from a virgin, a holy child, with a pure DNA. And His blood was holy blood. He didn't transfer the sin that was in the generations before into the sacrifice that He paid on the cross through His life, thereby removing the debt that we had with God, and removing the curse that was upon us from sin in our flesh. So we went on to that, and we talked about that God raised Jesus from the dead, and since He raised Jesus from the dead, we can be raised from the dead also. So we put our trust in the cross of Jesus Christ, what He suffered. He took our punishment, our shame. He became sin for us, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And He gave us His divinity. In other words, He gave us His righteousness. So we got an exchange at that time. So on the cross, God killed off the genealogy of Adam. And the new Adam, which was the last Adam, which was Jesus Christ, the second man that God ever created, He started a new lineage, a new generation of people. And those are the sons and daughters of God. So this, you enter the kingdom of God through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you can put your faith in Jesus that He paid the price for your sins, He paid the price for all of your shortcomings, and you can accept that free gift, you too can have a regenerated spirit and start walking as a son or daughter in the kingdom of God, reunited with the Father. Amen? So that was part two of our series, which was accepting the terms of the agreement. Because with every contract, there are rules, and that is that we have to believe by faith. And that's the whole Christian walk, to believe by faith. We aren't walking by sight by the evidence of the world around us. Because as you guys know, the world does not show you the kingdom of God. The world shows you sin, which I gave you the acronym last week, my acronym, which is selfish, indulgent nature. We have this self-indulgent nature inside of us automatically that what about me? I'll help you, but I got to take care of me first. Maybe I'll do something for you, but as long as it doesn't hurt me. And our whole thoughts and our whole things that we do wraps us in the middle of it all. So God now has redeemed us from that selfish nature to live a holy life before Him in His kingdom of heaven. So today in part three, what I want to look at today is we want to take a look at what's new now in this new update. What is it that God has done that is different? And so if you get your Bibles out, and I would really encourage you, use your Bible, okay? I know that many of you just like to look on the screen and follow the verses on the screen. That's perfectly fine if you do not own a Bible. But I'm asking you, don't be lazy and just do the screen only. Look in your book, because I have discovered, and many, many other people have also, that when your eyes see the words on these pages, it locks something in your heart, in your soul. And then you can own it more. It's like you're planting the seeds of these words in your own being, in your own heart. And so I encourage you to just look at it yourself. You know, in fact, I'm just going to jump ahead and let's go to James real quick. And I want to just share one thing with you out of the book of James. It's James chapter 1 and it's verse 21. Now, they don't have that on the screen, so you're going to have to look in your own Bible, because I'm just doing this off the cuff right now. Because I want you to know something, that it is really important that we take this Bible seriously. It's not just another good book. This Bible is alive. Even the Spirit of God is in this book. I don't know how it works, but I know that it does. This is eternal. And when you see these eternal words in your own eyes, they go into your heart, and that's what changes you. By getting this in you, you become different, because your inner person starts learning who you really are through these pages. So look in verse 21 in your own Bible in James chapter 1. And it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now listen, this book, by getting these words in your own heart, by getting these words in your soul, this is a way that you are saved. You're made whole. This is how you can start realizing the truth of what God has done for you experientially in your life. Amen. From this point forward in my teachings, I'm going to pretty much just consider that you're already born again now. Okay? I'm not thinking of the person who has not accepted Jesus. I'm thinking of the person who has accepted Jesus now. Because in this upgrade, the old was done away with. It's made obsolete, like the Old Testament. And now we're going to be walking in what's new, the new covenant or the New Testament. So in this new that we're going to be talking about this upgrade that we've received, we're going to start identifying differently. So as you know in your computers, when you've gotten an upgrade in a computer in one of your programs, and you get that upgrade, you accept the terms of use, and you use it, you'll start, what's the first thing you start doing? looking at what's different about this program, what's new, what's improved, what's better than what was before. So we're going to talk about that today, all right? So grab your Bibles, or you should already have them in your hands, and let's look at a couple of verses, shall we? I want to start in Romans chapter 6. Let's just begin there. And in Romans chapter 6, it talks about us and Christ. And in chapter 6, I want to talk about Romans 6, 6. Okay? This is, some people think it's just semantics, but the truth of the matter is, this has really happened if you've been born again. And I hope I'm going to be able to explain it over the weeks to come really clearly, all right? You just be patient with me, and let's go through all 8 of these weeks and look at this new you, shall we? So in verse 6 it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So what that is saying is this, is that when we got born again and Jesus died on the cross, he did away with the body of sin. It's gone. As far as God's concerned, it has been eradicated. The debt has been paid, so there's no more debt. How many of you have ever owed anybody anything? A credit card, a card note, something. When you pay that debt, there is no more debt. It's paid off. You're clean. The books are balanced, and it no longer comes to your mind anymore because the debt's paid. When you bought your car and you paid it off, you paid that last payment and you rejoiced it's all paid off. 3 months later, 6 months later, you're not thinking about, oh, I got to make a car payment. You might for a little tiny while because you're in the habit of doing that. But then you break the habit by remembering, oh, I don't need to pay that anymore. Oh, I was used to doing that, but now I don't have to do that any longer. And after a short period of time, it won't even come to your mind anymore that you ever had to make that payment, right? So it's the same way with sin. Jesus dealt with sin through his sacrifice. God does not look at us like we're in debt to him in any way, shape, or form. As far as he's concerned, we are a brand new person. And we talked about that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new creature, a different type of man or woman that never existed before Christ. Because as we learned in 1 Corinthians 15, in the 50s somewhere, it says that he was a life-giving spirit. Remember that? And as he was a life-giving spirit, it's by the Spirit we're made alive. So that's the number one thing that we've been upgraded from. Sin's been dealt away with, and now we've been added to or given our spiritual life back again. So in Romans chapter 6, it talked about that. If you go with me down to verse 10, it says this, in 10 and 11, it says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So it goes on to say that you shouldn't let sin have dominion over you anymore. Sin shouldn't reign in your life anymore. He's broke the back of sin. He's broke the power of sin. He defeated the devil who had the power of death. And because of that, sin no longer has a right to dominate you. Well, how many of you can say, like I've been able to say, oh yeah, well, he may not be able to dominate me, but he does. There's still some things in my life. Sickness still tries to overwhelm me at times. There are things, fear grips me at times. And even though this sin has been dealt with, there are things in my life that don't show that I've been a new creation or that I've been raised from the dead or that I am one of God's own children. And so we have to take a look at what is the residual from the old program before we got the update. There's something new now in this new update that we have to remind ourselves and start going to. How many of you have ever moved before? I know, just about everybody has, haven't you? And we have moved from one place to another place, maybe in our same city or county. And as you've moved to the new house, how many of you, when you get off of work, you're busy thinking about things, and by accident, you drove to the old house? I've done that. And then I go, well, I got mostly to the old house. In fact, one time I got into the driveway of the old house, and they were in two opposite directions of two different cities, and I couldn't believe that I drove all the way there. And I parked the car and realized, I don't live here anymore. And then I had to drive all the way to my new house. Well, it only took a couple of times, three or four times, of driving to the new house that I got used to going that way. It's the same way with this. It's easy for us to fall into thinking of ourselves according to the flesh, thinking of ourselves as being condemned or guilty, or I've done sins in the past and God still holds it against me. Or there's even people that think that, well, I know Jesus died for my sins when I asked to be born again, but I've sinned since that time. And God probably holds that one against me. So I just want to help you here. God said he would never hold it against you. He would never be angry with you ever again. And we have to believe him when he says that. We have to accept that as truth. And I better just find that real quick as I say it, because I'm thinking that there are some of you that aren't going to be able to accept that. Oh yeah, so here it is. It happens to be in Isaiah 54, okay? She doesn't have this verse. I didn't give it to her. So guess what? You're going to have to look in your Bible. Isaiah, look, it's about the middle of the Bible, all right? So Isaiah chapter 54. And in I'm going to read verse 9. And it says this, for this is like the waters of Noah. Remember when I talked to you 2 weeks ago about Noah and the ark and how God flooded the earth? And he gave us a promise by the rainbow in the clouds that he would never, to remind himself that he would never flood the earth again and wipe out man and beast. Remember that? So it says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. God swore that he's never going to be angry with us and never going to rebuke us again. That's his covenant. He can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. He can't do it. I'm going to show you another verse. The poor lady up there that's got the thing, she doesn't have any of these verses, you guys. I'm just telling you some stuff right now by the Spirit of God. Somebody must need this. So look what it says in your Bible in Numbers chapter 23. It says this. It says, God is in verse 19 of chapter 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? You see, God said he'd never be angry with us. He wouldn't put sin on us and judge us as guilty anymore. You got to get that down into your heart and your mind, because the residual from the old programming will grab a hold of you and make you think of yourself in a condemning, self-loathing, or shameful way. You will feel disqualified, inadequate, powerless at times, because the devil is still a liar and he's still in the earth and he's still trying to beat all of us down with his noemas. That's devices. And those are thoughts. And he tries to beat us up by the way we think about ourselves. So you've got to get grounded in what I'm telling you now, that the body of sin in Romans 6:6 has been done away with in Christ. You must get that settled in your heart. God no longer is looking at you as guilty. He's not condemning you. He is not doing that. That is old programming still at work in your life. Are you with me? That was just a treat. That wasn't what I intended to say, but I want to let you know that's really good. Because here's the thing the Holy Spirit is putting on my heart. That many, many, many of us don't really come to God with a clear conscience. We don't really come to God free. That we are clean and we are loved and He really likes us. Many of us are ashamed, and so therefore we say we know God. We say that God has saved us because we wouldn't dare say that it's not true that Jesus died for our sins, but we're not experiencing that yet. We still feel powerless at times. We feel separated from God at times. We still feel unworthy because we know since we got born again, we still made a mistake. We fell. We sinned. We got trampled somehow and got caught up in something. Maybe we lost our temper. Maybe we swore. Maybe you did something worse than that. And your heart condemns you. But the Bible says that God's greater than your heart. And we need to renew our minds and keep it going. And we're going to talk about that today a little bit if we have time. All right? So, you looked in Romans chapter 6, and we talked about chapter 6, verse 6, and also verse 10 and verse 11, that sin should no longer have dominion over us, right? And so that means that we're going to have to stand up to it. We're going to have to stand up to it. And the way that we're going to stand up to that is not by telling it all the time that it's no good, it's a lie, it has no power. The right way to do it is to find out what we do need to pay attention to, what we do need to focus on, how we do walk in this new life that Jesus has given us. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and look at a few of those things. You know, as I'm sharing with you right now, I was thinking about a car drift. I was seeing a car drifting towards a telephone pole. And that's a real good analogy. You know, if you ever were driving your car and it got away from you because of the weather or a tire or something happened and you lost kind of control of your car and it starts sliding, do you know what they have proven? That wherever you put your attention, wherever you look, that's where the car is going to go. So many of us, though, just through our automatic negative thinking, through our automatic thoughts, we look at what we don't want to hit. And when you look at what you don't want to hit, the principle of going where you look is still in effect, and whoosh, right into the tree or the telephone pole you go, or the other vehicle. So listen, it is normal to know what you do not want. It is really normal to know what you do not want. But what you need to do is strengthen your mind to focus on the new truth that has been implanted inside of you. Through the Bible, through you believing God, through you renewing your mind. So let's go to a couple of renewing your mind verses. Come with me to Romans chapter 12. And let's look at that one real quick. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it talks about us renewing our minds. Okay. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I see she's got the verse up. I don't know if that's the first one or not. But some of you are probably going, oh, thank you, Jesus. The verses are finally up. So praise God. At least you got those to look at, right? This is what it says in verse 2. In fact, you know what? In the comments below, if you have your own Bible with you, you go ahead and put Bible in the comments below. Let that float up the screen and let's see who's got their own Bible, you know, and no cheating. Don't put Bible in there if you don't have your Bible in front of you, okay? Don't do that. All right. Verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. In fact, Pastor Trey was talking just recently about that we have to lay down our lives as a living sacrifice. I think he touched on these verses also, that we have to do that. and that we not be conformed, don't be fit into the mold of this world and the way this world thinks. We have to renew our minds now on these next 6 weeks that we're covering, starting today and forward, on who we really are in the eyes of God. Because if He doesn't hold sin against us, if He's not condemning us, if He's not rejecting us, if He's not withholding His blessings from us, then something else is doing that. And it's that old program that you fall back into rather than walking in the new program. And like I used to do, is drive to the old house by mistake, and then I had to learn to drive to the new house. We have to readdress our attention, consciously think. On automatic pilot, you go to the old way. But if you consciously think about your moments and your words and what you're thinking on and how you're behaving, you can redirect your life back in the right direction. Amen? Amen. So it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means if we can change the way we think, we are changed. That's really good news, you guys. If we can change the way we think, we're changed. That's powerful. So what we have to do, here's a little dilemma that I've been in, and maybe some of you have been in it too, that I will pray. I know what the Bible says, and I know that verse is true because it's in the Bible, and I would never, ever say that it's not true because it's in the Bible, and I wouldn't want to transgress God by saying it's not true. But let's just say the Bible says to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I laid hands on the sick and they didn't recover. I'm under a dilemma now. Do I say it doesn't work? That means God's a liar? Do I say what? Do I say, well, man put that in the Bible and that's not what God does? Do I say in my heart that maybe sin, I've done something wrong, what's wrong with me? Therefore, I've disqualified the power of God in my life? We have to be honest. If those things are inside of us, we've got to be honest about that and root those things out so they don't continue to have power by putting the truth of what God says in our hearts and in our minds. Are you with me? We have to do that. It takes time to brainwash ourselves, to wash our brains by the way we think and what our automatic thoughts are. You know, some of you have ants in your mind. What ants are is automatic negative thoughts. Some of you have those creeping around inside of you, and you've never taken the time to squirt the raid and to destroy those ants. You've got to take the time to kill the ants. The automatic negative thoughts, when it crops up, you have to grab a hold of it, acknowledge it, because that's sin. And what you need to do is say, no, that is not true. It may have been true in the past, but the Bible says this, and that's what's true. And you stick to that. I'm going to give you some verses today that you can really hold on to, but it takes time. It just takes time until the light goes on. And when the light goes on. It's really on. Because I'll tell you what, when you learn that 2 + 2 = 4, and you know 2 + 2 = 4, no one can ever steal that from you. Because you know 2 + 2 = 4. So you know, if somebody else says, no, 2 + 2 = 6, 2 + 2 = 6, do you know what? You say, no, it doesn't. And they can say that, and what do you think? They're crazy. They don't know anything. They're deceived. Because 2 + 2 = 4. Those that are not saved will think you're crazy, because you're believing God instead of what they've learned. But once you learn God's math and how God looks at us, then you know what the new is, then you can say, nope, they're crazy. Because they're still living under the old way of thinking instead of the new life that Jesus has put inside of us. So go with me to Ephesians, will you? We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read a long section of verses, but just hang in there with me. You know, look in your Bible. It's verse 17, and we're going to read all the way down through 24, okay, of Ephesians chapter 4. So here it goes. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles," that's the rest of the nations, anyone that was in Hebrew, "the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." That's the obscurity or the darkness of their mind. "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated," that means to be a stranger, "from the life of God." So in other words, they're trapped in their heads, thinking in their minds all the time, but they never quite get a hold of the fact that they're living by the life of God now. "Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness and works of all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." The truth is in Jesus. "That you put off concerning your former conduct," that you put off the way you used to live, "the old man which grows corrupt," remember that program, corruption, "according to the deceitful lusts." But look at this, verse 23, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." So here's the first one. We have to see ourselves as truly righteous and holy before God. He created this new heavenly man, this new creature, new creation, new creature, the new you, when you got born again, righteous and holy before God. Not you can become righteous and holy. He made you. He created this new person with his righteousness and his holiness. That's you and me. And it's easy for us to not think that's true and to walk according to our former conduct, to look at ourselves according to the old ways, to let your brothers and sisters, your father and mother, your children, your employees or your coworkers, your bosses, the judges, whoever you have to do with, they will look at you according to the flesh. But you have to look at yourself according to a brand new creation that is truly righteous and truly holy before the eyes of God, who created you that way. Okay? Not that you need to glean it or get it. I know I'm being redundant, but we have to get this in our hearts. Amen? So we're going to move on a little bit here. So as God created us truly holy and righteous, as he has made us in his image and his likeness, he has done a wonderful thing that he took us from being a part of Adam's genealogy, and he created us and put us into the last generation, the generation of Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam, the last man. And we are lumped into that genealogy or that generation. So as far as God's concerned, there's no more generations. Jesus is the last because it's the last man. So therefore, we are in that. Just like Noah and his family were in the ark, we are in Christ and being rescued in Christ as the last generation. And that generation has everlasting life. It lives forever. So this generation, there is no end to it. So if you've prayed with me or you prayed in the past and you're born again, there is no end to your life. Now your flesh may grow old and die, but you will not. And you say, well, Pastor Robert, how can, if my flesh dies, then I die, right? I die. I may go to heaven, but I died. Well, if you look at yourself according to the flesh, yes. But are you your car? Are you the car you drive? If I see you in your car driving down the street or going to the mall or in the gas station, and I just see your car, I say, well, there you are, because I see your car. I didn't see you. I saw your car, and I recognized your car as you because I know you drive in that car. And so I go, there you go. But how many of you know you are not your car? Once you're born again, you no longer identify as a merely human person. You're a new type of a person. You are spiritual now. So you're a spiritual man or woman with a natural body. And so now this body may see death, but you yourself will not. So you have to renew your mind, renew the spirit of your mind, that you have everlasting life. The promise that God originally wanted Adam to walk in, you now have. He's restored it. He's removed death out of the equation. He took the power of death away from the devil. Have I read that verse to you yet? I probably should real quick. So go with me over to Hebrews. Okay? So that's in the back of your Bible, just a little bit further back. And it's in Hebrews chapter 2. Just so you have it, I should read it. And we're going to look at verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 2. Are you with me? So it says this. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. That means Jesus became a flesh and blood person for us. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So look at the next verse if you're in your Bible, verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There are so many people who are afraid to die. I'm telling you, so many people who are afraid to die. But once you're a born-again Christian, you know you have everlasting life. You're eternal. You are going to live. You had a beginning of days, but now you have no end of days. None. This body may not make it. If you're here when the Lord comes, I believe that your glorified spirit will swallow up the corruption that's in this flesh, and you'll become glorified, and this flesh will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I believe that's true. But if you're not one of those who happen to be on the earth at that time, then this may go. But you never will. You'll just step right over into your glorified body, into the kingdom of God. So therefore, death should have no power over you and me. Fear should have no power over you and me. Because we will live forever. Forever. Amen? Renewing our minds. Dealing with the old programming. Dealing with the habitual way that we used to live. And start consciously, deliberately retraining ourselves, our hearts and our minds, in the presence of God, through the Bible, to our new creation. Go with me to Ephesians again. In Ephesians, it's just really just a short distance behind you. In Ephesians, God, through Paul, was talking about a couple of things that are just absolutely unfathomable for a person who is not born again. It's Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 4. And read through verse 6. So in Ephesians chapter 2, look what this says. But God, who was rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Boy, that just makes me soft inside. So many of us just don't realize how much God actually loves us. He loves us even when we were dead in trespasses. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God raised us up together with Christ because he loved us so much and sat us in heaven on the throne of God in heaven in Christ Jesus. Therefore, God now sees you and I and treats you and I as if we are seated right next to him in heaven. That's a good place to be. But I want to let you know, If you slipped off into la-la land, if you slip off into your old behavior, if you slip off in getting overwhelmed by the things in this world, if you slumber and go right back to sleep again to your old ways, you will not remember that's who you really are. And you're subject to all the negative things that come to a person who's not seated in heavenly places, even though legally you are. And while you live on the earth, you will suffer sickness and problems and all kinds of irritable annoyances because you don't really know that you have the power over sin. You have the dominating power of overcoming, pushing back, and doing away with Satan and his minions. But if you realize that, praise God, you can exercise that authority and you can change the environment around you and you can make the reality of the kingdom of God your reality in the earth. And as you stand in it and you speak it and you're convinced of it and you have your Bible that backs you up, that you really are who God says you are, then all of a sudden that stuff flees out of your presence because you flipped on a light. And in the light, when you flip on the light, the cockroaches, they scatter in every direction. I'll tell you. So you and I, let's go into Colossians and see if we can back this up with another verse. And in Colossians, we can back it up. And so I'm just going to look at, it's hard to do this. I'm going to start in 9 only because it's right in the middle of a sentence, a long sentence. So I'm just going to start in verse 9 of Colossians. And we're going to read down through verse 14, okay? So for this reason, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask God that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Praise God. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So listen, as you believe God, as you believe the Bible tells you as a new creation what you've got, as you start walking that out and your understanding is waking up to this is true, this is who I really am, you're now pleasing God. You're now looking really good to Him because you're expecting the results that God gets when He does something. Remember when I talked to you about in the Old Testament on the first teaching that God was so upset and He said in Numbers 14, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me? I'm telling you the truth. When you believe God, when you walk in what He says is true and you tell yourself and teach yourself to obey these new things that have been given to us, ah, it makes God so happy. So look what it says when he goes on. That you may work, verse 10 again, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patient and long sufferings with joy. This is my verse. Verse 12, thanksgiving to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So God qualified us to do that. Not our behavior, not whether we are feeling crummy or condemned. God qualified us. It's like He employed us. It's like He gave us the job. It's like He gave us the position. God did that on His own. I didn't earn it, so I can't wreck it. God gave it to me as a gift, and He qualified me to be a partaker of this inheritance. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Not you need to get delivered from the darkness in your life. It's not what He said. He moved us. He delivered us from that power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Conveyed is just a term that means that He moved it over. He conveyed you. He moved you over from being just a flesh and blood, natural person who's going to die to an eternal person with everlasting life in Christ Jesus. And he moved you from this world into the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He did that. He qualified you. He gave you the power. He overcame darkness. He did it all and moved us there and sat us there. Amen? But listen, that short circuits people's brains because their consciousness, the I that I call me, is still on the earth. And since my consciousness, the I that I call me, is on the earth, it's hard for my brain to believe I've been moved over into heavenly places. I want to help you with this. You're not the first person that has that dilemma. I just want to let you know. We all walk through it. It's called a crisis of belief. We'll believe God, we'll believe God, we'll believe God, and then we hit a wall that I would never say it's not true, but I am not experiencing it in my life because it is beyond what I'm able to believe right now. And that's when we need to renew our mind and start letting more light come into that area and start plowing the ground a little bit more, getting understanding and getting released from that habitual way of being so we can start walking in this new power and life. Amen. So I'll give you a short testimony if I've got the time. I was seeking God very diligently, and he grabbed a hold of me and brought me up to heaven. He did it himself. And what happened was when he did that, my consciousness of who I am was there with him. He took my whole consciousness, my whole being, and brought me up to heaven. I don't know if I was in my flesh or not in my flesh. I don't know. I only know that I was me and I was there. And the I that I call me was there with the Lord there. And we would like it that that's how it is all the time. That I'm walking on the earth, but I'm consciously there with the Lord the whole time. Okay? He did that to me. I'll maybe explain that in times to come, but he did that to me. And that was easy for me to say, I've been in heaven because God put me there. But what God is saying, that without faith, it's impossible to please him, in Hebrews 11:6, that first we must believe that he is, and then that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that's what pleases God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and then God took him because Enoch pleased God. That means he had faith. He believed God when God said something. So this is what pleases God, that he says he's moved us from the earthly realm into the spiritual realm, into the heavenly places. Now we get to decide if we're going to believe him or not. We get to decide if that's true. And if it's not true and we say God's a liar, he didn't move me there, then guess what? You will get the results of being a person whose mind is still locked in the rudimentary rules of this earth. But if you can grab a hold of what God's saying as the truth, even though my five senses, my carnal senses say it's not true, you can start getting different results. Because now the seat of your soul, the seat of your mind, the throne of your heart, the place that you function from is now seated in heaven. And when you get that down in you, that though my flesh and my consciousness is on the earth, I in fact am a citizen of heaven just passing through this earth realm. And I'm actually an eternal son of God who lives in heaven, and from heaven I am making my decisions on this earth, proving to myself of the flesh, to the world around me, and the people around me that God's rules, principles, and words supersede the rules, principles, and words of this world. Amen? Go with me with Romans chapter 8. I'll try to get this in before we close. No, we're in Colossians. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 real quick. I might need to just extend this in the next week a little bit if you don't mind. If this is good, type in good. Let's just see a bunch of goods going by, okay? Do some thumbs up and some this is good. So in Colossians that we just read, look at this in chapter 3. of Colossians. Okay, we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Colossians. Then if you were raised with Christ. Oh, so this is what he's saying. If it's actually true that you were raised with Christ and are seated in heavenly places with Christ, then if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death, we're going to crush, we're going to destroy, we're going to root out, we're going to void the old programming. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. He's not saying cut off your arms and kill them. He's talking about those things on the earth that your heart and life is still tied to, that you call real, that you think is you. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked, when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That means, in direct proportion to God, you were created according to God. So he used himself as the, what's it called when you, a pattern. He used himself as the pattern, as the original prototype to create more. So you are created as you're renewed in your knowledge through knowing him and being in this word. You start becoming different by setting your hearts and your minds on heaven. So, brothers and sisters, this is not an easy thing to do at times, especially when you've got all the feelings and all the thoughts and things aren't going your way, and it seems like every time you turn around there's troubles, and you've been doing it and speaking the word, but you're not seeing the fruit of it yet and not getting the results. I tell you, do whatever you need to do that the light goes on in your mind, that it's no longer effort trying to make something happen, but the realization of the truth that you are who he says you are. And when you wake up to the fact that you are righteous, you are holy, you are blameless, then you yourselves will get the fruit of that conduct. Amen. Well, I want to pray with you. We never got to everywhere I wanted to get to. So we're going to have to just extend this one into next week. And we're going to go on with this. Because I really want to let you know that in this new program, there's entirely different rules that we operate by according to the Spirit than we used to operate according to the flesh. And I want to break those rules down for you that we can start walking in this new life that God has given us. Amen. So I want to let you know that we're here for you at High Point Church. We're here for you. If you need prayer, just type it in the notes right now. Please pray for me. And just say what you need us to pray for you. But I am encouraging you to let us know your situation, that we can be one with you as the body of Christ. Amen. So let me just pray for all of you together, including myself right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up this viewing audience, Lord. I lift up this church and all the people here today. And I say, Heavenly Father, help us in our understanding, that our minds would be opened, that we would no longer be living under a fog of who we are, but that we would see that we really are chosen by God. We really have been qualified by God, and that He has moved us into His heavenly realm and into His kingdom. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we can experience the reality of this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you for watching through the entire program. And please do share. Share these things out with your friends and family. Put them on your page so that other people can be equally blessed as you are. Amen. Love you.